Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Well, the saddest part of the year is upon us. Bonnaroo 2022 has come and gone. The highs, the lows, everything in between. Lord Taco, Barry Corder, take us step by step through the farm. The shrunken Bonnaroo farm. The improvements, the areas of concern. The shows they loved, the shows they didn't. The Bonnaroo 2022 recap, now on the What Podcast. It starts right now. The What Podcasts, which bands this year that matter? It is Bonnaroo Recap Week, setting up to be a very busy couple of shows. Barry Corder, Lord Taco, I'm Brad. Let's go through it, guys. Without ado, welcome back. You feel fresh. How many showers did you take the day you got back? How long did you sleep? How many days did you take off?
There was a couple of good Silkwood showers.
Sorry?
You remember the movie Silkwood?
No.
With Meryl Streep, where the nuclear.
Wait, oh my God, Taco!
And they like hosed her down with.
And he's already doing a dad reference.
Oh, it's one of my favorite.
Man,
it's one of my favorite references, though.
It didn't take long to take out the Meryl Streep reference.
What year was that, Barry?
I don't know.
Silkwood.
The first time I heard it, my brother, who you both know, owned a pizza place that was by the river, and when it flooded, they tied a bunch of beer kegs together. And floated out into the water, and then someone reminded them that that was not clean river water. So anyway, somebody said, yeah, I went home and took a Silkwood shower. I've had
1983,
several...
1983, Taco, 1983.
You know, they have this thing called cable. Have you ever heard of this? They got this thing, cable and Netflix.
Yes, we've heard of
Hulu
AMC.
And...
Harlow, yeah, so you know about AMC.
You might have seen one of these movies every now and then.
1983, okay.
Yeah, bunch of goobers. Got home. I got home Sunday morning. I left early. We can get into that. Taco, I think he just
He's
got
still
home
there.
Yesterday.
He's still there. Yeah.
Still here. Yeah.
First one in, last one out. My man.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Go ahead.
What I was setting up and tearing down, I was literally the last one there. So, came home late Monday night.
Did you really? They didn't kick you out?
No.
And at no point did you like say to yourself, I'm so dying to be in my own house.
I was in my own house. I was on the bus.
Okay. Barry,
why did you actually leave? Now that I'm thinking about it,
why would you leave?
Did you run
I'm
out
not
of
sure.
Water
why would I leave? Yeah. I was out of beer.
Why don't you just buy a parking space up there and live there?
I would if they let me. Yeah.
We're going to get into all this, Brad. I mean, he literally was the first one in and the last one out.
It's incredible.
That's right.
I think that's what we're going to talk about. I've thought about it. I've had a week. This was the year of everybody's experience is different. I mean, that's, you know, it's always that way. But this year especially, everyone I've talked to has a completely different Bonnaroo experience than in any time I can remember.
In a good way? What do you mean?
All of it. All of it. There were so many roller coaster rides. I was thinking about this. What was the year that when we met Kristen and Jared from Repeat Repeat? Was that 16 or 17?
It was the first year of the podcast, so yeah.
That was 2018.
18. Yeah. That year was magical. That year was like every time I got up and left my chair or rounded a corner or did anything, it was just magical. There was never a bad moment, right? I mean, it was magical. This year was a roller coaster. I don't say that to throw blame at anybody. Part of it is on me. Part of it is on the weather. A lot of it is on the weather. It just was good things happened and then not so good things happened. And, you know, all in all, I think it was a very positive festival. I had a really good time. I'm anxious to go back. Not tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
I want to start at just like the basics. Like when you get home, what's the first thing that you do when you get off the road and into the house?
Go ahead, Russ. I can tell you mine. It's the same for 17 years.
I think I took a shower. It was the first thing. Yeah, try to wash some of the wook off of me.
Yeah, not me. It's the opposite. I empty the truck because I know it's going to be hot.
I know it. I knew Barry's thing is so much different because the stuff in my car stays there for probably 8 months. I can't, like, I just don't have it in me. I'm so tired. I'm so beat. The last thing that I want to do is do all of this thing again. I just want to get in, sleep for a day and a half and shower. The car stuff, I'll figure that out later.
Yeah, I still haven't even unpacked. I mean, the couch is still in there. No, the big head's still in there.
I'm the complete opposite because I know how I am. If I don't, it'll stay there. And then it'll dry rot, and then it'll be stinky, and my truck will stink. And so,
how'd you feel on Monday?
Good. Same way as I felt Sunday. Yeah, I was fine. You remember 2-3 years ago when we went Wednesday and stayed till Monday morning. I think I told you I unpacked everything, did my usual, and then I don't remember anything until Thursday. that's the truth. I exhausted myself that year.
Yeah, you watched Silkwood about 5 times. I
watched Silkwood, took my shower. I crawled into, you know, my water tank and whatever. Was also in those movies. But no, this was different. It was just a completely different festival for me. And I should say, too, on multiple occasions, and we'll get into it because of how it changed, but on multiple occasions, and Taco, you'll back me up on this, we all agreed we were glad you weren't there, Brad.
Wait, what do you mean? What's that supposed to mean?
It was nothing against you personally.
Oh, but, is it?
I find that hard to believe. Would not have liked our setup. Uh-huh. And you would have been miserable and made us all miserable.
In what way? Would I have made the setup better?
No, you would have tried, and it wasn't going to happen.
It was a downgrade from previous years, for sure.
Yeah, we've been spoiled.
Maybe it was a downgrade because I wasn't there.
We talked about that.
I don't think
that was brought up in the meeting.
It came up in committee for sure.
Oh, speaking of, I got to shout out our neighbors and new friends that we ended up kind of merging camps with. Jerry, Mike, Brad, and Beth.
Beth.
Oh my God! You replaced me with another Brad.
We had an alternate Brad.
You really crossed the line.
That came up. Yeah.
You don't see me hanging out with
this is going to be a problem.
You don't see me hanging out with Brooklyn Barry, do you?
I did. As soon as they introduced, I was like, "This is going to be a problem."
If I start going to a restaurant called Lord Taco, you guys could never speak to me again.
It's not saying it's not true. It was as we've said many, many times, Camp Nut Butter was inside the woods. They moved us into the woods when we first, was 2008?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
It's been a while, and we've been very, very spoiled. This year, we were out in a field. And not only were we in a field, but because Taco was first in, we were the back right corner. We could not have been any farther away.
Which, again, help me understand the logic of when you're first in, you get put in the very back. Why wouldn't you be put in the very front? You don't stack anything like that.
It made no sense, especially because they guided me in and they lined me up. They're like, here, park here. And I'm like, looking, this is a giant open field. I could literally go anywhere I wanted. And no, they stuck me way back in the corner.
So my strategy there, if I was with you, to be fair, what I would have done
Here's where it begins, folks. Okay. Roll back 2 minutes.
All right. The second they told me what to do, what do you think I would have done?
And guess when you would have stopped?
Well, wait a second.
Today.
When Taco is telling me, or when the person's telling Taco, you need to be here. Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming. I know this place better than you do. 3, 2, 1, they walk away. I drive to somewhere better.
Yeah, except they look out in this giant field, and you've moved.
It would be very obvious.
Someone might have noticed.
They don't care. They just don't care.
They do. They already came out and had me move once.
Oh, come on. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who is they, by the way? Because normally it's just some dopey, college kid.
It's funny you say that, because that will come up throughout this show. Because that was that was theme number whatever. What do you say, Taco? 2, maybe 3? It was so random. I mean, a couple of our guests that we're going to have are going to talk about how random security was. And I don't want to get into a throwing shade at Bonnaroo, but it was pretty random.
I was just glad to get back there, because I swear I went through 8 people to try to figure out where we're camping at. And they kept saying, they would look at my map and they'd be like, I don't know, but go on up and talk to that guy. Nobody turned me away. They just kept sending me through until eventually I found somebody who knew where it was.
Well, let's go back. So as we teased on the show before, Taco was going to leave. They opened the gates on Tuesday for general admission. They were not going to let us in until Thursday morning.
That's right.
But Taco had a friend who was going to go and get her general admission camping on Wednesday, right? You went up. This is so crazy.
I went up Tuesday.
Yeah, just because you, just because you're you.
I got nothing else to do.
I got nothing else to do. What else am I going to do? I'm already packed.
He drove up to Walmart.
I went to Walmart. I went to Walmart and hung out there, made friends, spent the night there in the Walmart parking lot. Wednesday morning, we weren't even supposed to get passes until Wednesday night. Wednesday morning, I met up with Ada, the dashboard mom, because she had an extra car camping pass she was going to loan me. So we went up to the high school where you pick up your credentials, and I was there early. I said, hey, can I get my passes? And she was like, sure. So I got in early, and then I just drove on in, and finally, after like 8 different people, they got me where we needed to go.
I think we weren't supposed to be there that early. This only works because you had nowhere else to go. If this was Barry driving up from Chattanooga, no chance they'd let him do that. No chance.
Yeah, because if they had said
Brian Stone would have been turned away 100 times.
Well, if they said no, I would have gone back to the Walmart parking lot. But
just to go back, because this is kind of a theme for the week. We were going to be allowed to get our passes on Wednesday night at 6, but not get in until Thursday morning at 10.
Correct, which makes no sense.
So, again, just keep that in mind, because that's sort of the running roller coastery theme that I'm talking about.
This is not the normal Bonnaroo experience, but if there's something that we can say to the Bonnaroo folks that listen, why are you making us check in one time and then come back the very next day? Where do you think we're going? We argued about this last year when they started telling us that we wouldn't be able to get in until Thursday. What sense does it make to have somebody check in on Wednesday?
But I think then, it was a staffing thing. So again, it all worked out, and at times it's going to sound like I'm, complaining and throwing shade. I'm not. It's just the reality of what it was. Russ went up there, he and I are communicating, obviously. Brian Stone, our other campmate who's been on the show, been to every single one of these things, went on up. That becomes a whole nother story. We might have to have him on to tell his experience because it's completely different.
Do we have to?
You know, let me say this. He had the worst start of anyone I can think of. But Brad, I'm not kidding. He was great. He was Mr. Happy this whole week. Once he got back, he was not the same. He had a great time. Great time.
It makes you wonder, like, what happens in his regular life that makes him so miserable all the time? You know, what happens in his Bonnaroo life that half of his experience at Bonnaroo is so miserable? I still can't figure out why this man is so sad and so angry.
I wonder if you can draw a correlation between Brad's absence and Brian's happiness. Is it a coincidence, or is it cause and effect?
Well, we'll see. He's coming up very soon, so I plan to make him as miserable as possible.
That won't be hard. I can somewhat answer that, because at some point I'd had enough, and I jumped on our other band, our other campmate, Nate Gale, and he kind of looked at me, and I said, here's the problem. Brad's not here, and I've had 3 years of pent up anxiety, and you're catching all of it. And he did. So that happened also.
Yeah, Brad was not there to be grape aped by Barry. So
yeah, he didn't get grape aped, and I am certain on Sunday morning when I was packing up my camp and making all kinds of noise that Nate was going to grape ape me. He was going to come out of that tent and bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
We have so many moments like that. I'm telling you, it was up and down and up and down. I mean, along with the field, which we were put in with no shade, and we were back corner. So, you know, I brought the mailbox. Four people saw it. The four people camped next to us.
Yeah, we didn't get any traffic.
Got no traffic. No one even saw it. We did end up, Brian Stone was able to find us. I was able to find us. Tara and Joe and Kai were able to camp right next to us. So we essentially had a very mini Camp Nut Butter.
So would we have been able to, the way that our camp works is that we have people that come in on Thursday, plenty of people that come in Friday, and a load of people that come in on Sunday. Would we have been able to bring all these people together and make this actually a camp this year, or would they have been off on their own somewhere else in the field?
A little bit of both. There were so many, like I said, so many. That was the bad news. Well, the good news is
the reason I say
Brian,
is because most of the time we can rope off a giant section.
No, we couldn't.
No, not officially. No, but we made it work.
We made it work to get me in, and then Joe and Tara were able to come in and get kind of behind us. The good news was air conditioned bathrooms and showers.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. That's the biggest upgrade. The other thing that you might not know, living a traditional Bonnaroo life, is that back where we are, yes, we have a really great spot, but they just invest $0 in the bathrooms and the showers. You guys have so much better experiences when it comes to those kind of necessities than we do. The one thing that you can say that is so painful is the bathroom situation. Now, I have figured out a way to get around it. But for most people, it's still a porta potty experience. And in the shower, I actually never had a problem with. I know some people had issues with those showers, but I was always fine with it. But these are better.
These were great, and they were on top of them. I mean, they were cleaning all the time. It was. That's pretty special. I'm not going to lie. That's,
I called Barry.
Exactly.
I called Barry Wednesday. I said, you want the good news first? You're going to love these bathrooms.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. So, you know, a little bit of trade-off there.
I'll stop right there. Now, take everything that you have from this new campsite to where we were. Would you trade the location in the woods for the good bathrooms and the good showers?
I'll let I'll let Taco answer because he and I had a pretty lengthy conversation Saturday night, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night about next year. He opened the conversation with, if this is what we're going to have next year, I think I might just go to GA. And then we talked for, what, 20, 25 minutes? And
yeah.
And what happened?
I think I decided, I think it's still pretty good back here. I think I'll stay here.
pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, after the bathrooms and, you know, we're still right behind the what stage. You can get in and out. It's still pretty good. And, well, you know, we can make our own shade. We don't need trees.
And a big part, again, he and I have different needs and experiences. I'm there to work. A lot of what I need is access. And C3, which now owns or runs the property for Live Nation, was not the easiest to work with. But because we've been there for so long, we have a lot of contacts and information. I mean, Brad, you were texting us and setting up interviews, which we'll get into here in a little bit, you know, from where you were in New York, and then we were going and doing them. We were able to get a golf cart ride out to the Beer Exchange, which we'll get into. We were able to get interview opportunities with three bands. Those sorts of access things that we need for our jobs, quite honestly. They're also nice perks, just to be honest. It was a bit of a, while I think we were definitely missing a lot of the fun, I mean, because we were back corner. It was just us, basically.
Okay, but again, if you take away the bathrooms, would you rather be in the woods? You get the woods, but you don't get the bathrooms.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
No question.
Okay, really?
Yeah. It was a little worse, but it's not like we were in North Korea or anything.
Yeah.
It was still pretty good.
I hear it's a great time of year to visit right now.
Right. Yeah. It's all about attitude. It's all about attitude.
So you would rather forego the nice bathrooms for the better spot. Interesting.
Ooh, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what I would. That was
the question.
The other thing is, you know, it's kind of like a V or a Y. We were probably equidistant as far as having to walk to get to media, so that wasn't that big a deal. It was just wide open, hot, dusty. You also have to remember it was so hot. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Once the storm hit, it cooled off. So
I see. My impression is that I have figured out and played this bathroom game for a decade and a half, so I know how to manipulate the bathroom situation. So that part doesn't bother me. I would 1,000,000% choose the trees in the woods over good bathrooms.
Well, let me say this too, and this was probably causing us as much anxiety for the week before or more. They only wanted to give us two camping passes for three of us, and they gave parking to one or the other, which, you know, I fought and bucked and couldn't
understand. What in the hell's the difference between parking and camping?
Well, that's where I'm getting at.
You camp with your parking.
it ended up being nothing because the parking lot was literally right next door. So Brian Stone got parking. His car was 10 feet from ours.
It was just
on the other side of a chalk line, different chalk line. It meant absolutely.
You know how somebody gets a new job in your office and they come in and they're like, I've got to redo all of this, and they got to take the pictures down, they got to repaint, they got to move the desk 2 inches this way to really make it their own. You know, that's the way that I feel about it. You don't have to screw everything up just because you want to make it your own. And it feels like C3 sort of inserts themselves and tries to make something.
There's a little bit of that. There's definitely a little bit of that. The difference is, and I blame us, and I could be wrong. We have bragged about how awesome being back there in the woods is. And I think somebody said, we could probably sell that. Instead of giving it to guys like us, because we talked about there the other last week, they made more money even for a handful of platinum.
Did you go back there? Did you see? It was
like
empty.
Six or seven RVs, but they still made more money off of them than they did. Yeah, it was.
Stop pit. It.
It was. I empty. Know, but it so, was. It was a wasteland.
So they let you walk through platinum.
No, we drove by when they gave us the golf cart. When they gave us a driver.
That's
and a golf cart.
That's actually infuriating.
Yeah. Well, it was empty.
Well, I get it. Yeah. I mean, those are not
so
cheap
what
tickets.
What do they do with the RV lot right next to the woods on the other side, where the RVs normally camp?
It was still there.
Okay, so guest RV is
platinum.
Still over there.
Yeah, guest RV, VIP was where it was. This was platinum.
Okay.
Yeah, because Evan was in the RV, wasn't he? He wasn't too far from us.
Yeah, he he was literally 100 yards from us.
So you get into Cineroo. What was different about Cineroo this year than past?
It was smaller.
Roads.
I mean,
paved roads.
Yeah, they paved roads.
Yeah, how'd the paved roads go?
I actually liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, didn't even notice.
If
we hadn't talked about it, I would not have even noticed.
Well, how about this? Did you start noticing after the rain came?
You know,
because
that road
gets very, very muddy.
We didn't get a lot of rain.
We didn't get much rain. The dust, though, I mean, it definitely kept the dust down from everybody walking
down. Wait, I thought
there
was a major storm one of the days.
The wind.
It was all wind.
A lot of rain. We got a lot of thunder and lightning and wind. A lot of wind. We watched a lot of pop-up tents meet their demise.
Got it. I just assumed that that came with a rainstorm and not just wind. No, got it.
Well, maybe other parts got some rain, but where we were, we didn't get a whole lot of rain.
So
It did cool things off.
Oh, yeah.
They definitely... So, Brad, if you remember Production Road, which goes along the back, like where the slide, the big water slide, and the this and the other and all of
basically
that.
Basically creates a big U around the back of the property.
And so when it's crowded, that's all open and part of the festival. This year, that was a lot of production. So they shrunk it in. That was where they put a lot of equipment, staging, trucks, whatever. They shrunk it in.
Okay? No kidding. Yeah. So where the food court, where the food trucks used to be, they shortcutted it. They went in and brought the walls in right there, and then the oasis was how many yards further into Cineroo?
Well, they also, and I think Russ, you pointed this out, they broke up a lot of the vendors, right?
Yeah.
Instead of having them all in those long rows in Cineroo, they put five or six in a clump all over the place. So where the bridges are between the big stage, the wet stage, and Cineroo, you might see a cluster behind the bathrooms next to the bridges.
Really?
I don't know how those...
You think that was lack of vendors, or do you think it's to make the space feel larger?
I'm
or
saying
more
both.
Full,
I'm
rather.
Guessing both. How it worked, I don't know. I never was able to...
Did you hear, finally, what the... general consensus of a number was
40,000 sold tickets
is
the number that I heard. That's not official, but that's what I heard from multiple people, which puts it, you know, 50,000 to 52,000 with vendors and staff and all that stuff. It felt right. The big difference to me was walking through the big stage to see the Chicks. You know how you would come in the bridges and the gates and you couldn't elbow your way even in? You walk right in and you could go anywhere
Did any show feel packed?
I thought packed. No. Isaiah Rashad, to me, and Russ saw way more shows than I did. Isaiah Rashad felt right, though the Platinum area, which they made huge... The VIP sort of platinum pit area was massive, and I don't know why they did that.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because I was watching on the stream, the Hulu stream, and I noticed the same thing. And because so the pit is sort of like a a big upside down U, and it looked like the pit was this much of that U, and the rest of it was the platinum area, and nobody was there.
Yeah, That was my experience too with Pussifer, because I got in the Platinum area and it was, you just look around and it's like, where is everybody? It's empty in here.
Well, you know why? Because they sold 10 Platinum tickets.
Yeah, there were a lot. Not
I know,
lie.
They just should have opened it up and let everybody in there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess if you paid for that money, I don't know, that was awkward.
So it never felt, there was never a show that you felt like, oh my God, this feels like a packed Bonnaroo.
No, I don't think so.
What else did you do in GA other than the beer exchange?
Well, that unfortunately was like 20 minutes for us.
Yeah, we didn't even really get to do the beer exchange.
But you didn't do any Plaza stuff?
I didn't.
Man,
no.
Every year we talk a big game. Every year it's like, I can't wait to hang out in these plazas, yeah. And then we never go.
Well, I really do want to hear Russ's experience, because he had such a different one than me, than I did.
Well, I mean, yeah, I did go down to group.
Hold that thought. Let's do a quick break, and we'll come back and more Bonnaroo 2022 experiences on the What Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And we're back. Here we go. And now we bring you to the Lord Taco Bonnaroo experience.
Yeah, that's better.
I think
familiar.
I think we heard this entire weekend in one sound.
Familiar. Oh my gosh, Brad. Did I tell you about the dragon costume?
Well, no, we can't get to the dragon costume yet. We got to talk about Russ's Bonnaroo experience.
All right.
Which is so much different than yours, you say.
Yes, his involved the dragon costume. Go ahead.
That is not a dragon. That is a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
It is. It's a dinosaur. But I did. I did get out to the plazas. I went out to group camping, which is way out there, way further than I thought. But that's where...
Really, because on the map, it looks like it's right there at the old entrance.
I know. Well, uh-huh. You know, first of all, that old entrance was not there. Uh-huh. It was an exit, though. I will say that. But no, it was way further down than I anticipated. But that's where, like, Roo Bus was, and Roo Ham, and, you know, Camp Redaroo. That's, like, all those big groups were there, and they had a pretty nice stage, and I caught a couple shows there. The accommodations were amazing. We showed up for the beer exchange for, like, 10 minutes, and then had to evacuate.
So when they said evacuate, why did they make you guys leave group? Why couldn't you just hunker down there?
We We didn't have to, but our ride, she said she had to get back to headquarters, and so we thought we'd better hop on and leave.
Yeah, you didn't know if you were promised a ride back, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'd get stuck out there.
Yeah. Well, see, this is something we need to address with the C3 people, and I'll call my people, Barry. But we need our own cart next year.
Well, so this is one of those roller coaster things, right? I mean, because we've done it for so long and we know the people with AC and Big Hassle and all of that, we were able to ask our friend Ken Weinstein, can we get a ride? Because we had equipment. We had bags full of stuff to carry, not just the walk. But we had
beer.
And we had beer to carry, which you can't carry through center room, right?
Nope.
So we needed an escort, and we got a really, really cool...
You can't.
Well, this year you could have. This year we probably could have rolled a keg through there.
Yeah.
Or a truck. Yeah. But we got a great person named Romy who was so cool.
Let me just put it this way, Barry. I've never bought a beer in Center Room.
I know.
Put it that way.
I know. And this year was even weirder as far as that goes. I can't. I mean, we had, you know, people getting. Dogs going through their cars, and
what?
then the next mm-hmm. person was like, nothing.
Stop it.
Yeah, like the dog jumped up on my tailgate and had a nose about that long and stuck its nose, and I said, do I need to unpack? And the guy said, see the nose on that dog? We're good.
Sounds like you might need to undress and not unpack.
I know, right? Call me.
Now they might have had that before, and I just missed it.
They had old crew this time, but it was hit or miss. But
there was no dogs for me. I sailed right through.
Yeah,
I mean they didn't even know what to do with me, so they were just like, yeah, just go on. Just
this man looks like he owns this farm.
He's got a cool bus. Let him in. Yeah, but so we got the golf cart, which was great. Which, you know, was great. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but when the shelter in place call went out, which she was able to hear on her radio, and we were able to get ahead of time, she was like, I think I need to get back. And you know, we were with Daniel and Charlotte and the Rubus, and they were like, you're welcome to stay here, but we had a 1:30 with Briston Maroney interview back at media. So we weren't sure when the storm was going to be over, and we would not have made it back. So we had to go back with her, which, you know,
the big question is, what did you trade a PBR for, Taco?
I brought several from Odd Story, and Barry brought some Hutton and Smith.
Uh-huh. Two excellent Chattanooga breweries, by the way.
Yes, yeah, we brought some Chattanooga beers, and we basically handed them out and then had to leave.
That's right.
So nobody gave you a PBR?
Nobody gave me a PBR. Oh, yeah,
that's
you got the...
criminal.
I know. Ran into Liesl. We met so many people. That's one thing I meant to say, but I got the hug next with Liesl, and she got this for me at a concert. That she attended my morning jacket.
That's great.
So got that. And
that's great.
I got a wristband from Daniel and some pins. But we met. I mean, Taco was shaking hands. He could run for mayor. I don't know how many babies he kissed or people he met.
Well, he'll be the judge.
They weren't babies.
Or not.
They were.
They weren't babies.
But we did. We were able to meet so many people who listened to the show, and that's one thing we both talked about several times, right, Russ, was that not only did people come up and say, hey, I listened to the show, but they thanked us for the show, and that was...
Yeah, it was great. You couldn't turn around without running into someone.
There's no need to thank us for this thing.
The do's and don'ts. I know, right? That's why I bring it up like that. The do's and don'ts, people thanked us for, you helped me know what to pack and not pack and things like that. And that was really cool. It was so cool to meet so many.
For me, it started, I wasn't even at Bonnaroo yet. I was in the Manchester Walmart just walking around buying some stuff, and I was getting stopped. People were like, oh, you're Lord Taco. Hey, we listen to the show. Thanks. So
he had a big sign though, Brad. You know, big.
Well,
arrow.
He's wearing a PBR hat. I'm guaranteeing he's going to be noticed.
Yeah, they noticed me.
Holding a 24-pack of PBR with a PBR hat, with a PBR shirt.
Kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal, Arrow.
There's a big neon sign flashing over him at all times.
No, but that was really cool. It was so much fun to meet and to see, you know, not just new people, but like Liesl and David Bruce. Can't wait till we get into the interviews that we were able to do, but that was cool. It's such a weird, man, I've tried... get ready for this show. It was such a weird week, Brad. I mean, I go back to that repeat year, you know, where like everything was magical. This was one of those where it was so hot I nearly tapped out a couple of times on Thursday, and then when it's all over, I'm thinking, wow, I got to do so many cool things and see so many cool people and talk to so many cool people that love this festival. You can't explain it to even the folks next to us that Taco mentioned that were from Nashville. They've been several years as well. You can't explain it to somebody who has not been why it's so special. You know, I mean, it's just
I think that what I glean from Bonnaroo and honestly from living in New Orleans and now here is that the places that you love the most are the ones that it requires a struggle. Because the struggle is what makes you love it so much. You know, if you didn't struggle to live in New Orleans with all of the problems that the city has, whether it be crime or terrible gentrification or hurricanes, if you didn't have to struggle to live here with, you know, transit and how expensive it is, you wouldn't love it so much. And I think that I feel bad about ever calling Bonnaroo issues problems, because there's really no problem that isn't solved by the farm, right? There's no problem that happens at Bonnaroo that's not fixed or figured out by just being at Bonnaroo, because at the end of the day, you're there. Yeah. So,
as someone once said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, and at some point we'll probably get into this more. I'm interested to hear what Daniel and Sharla from the Real Rubus say, because they were a lot more vocal about the long lines and the lack of the extra gates and some of the other issues with the jam tracks that I just never saw. I want to hear their points of view.
The entrance thing was it seemed to be the biggest problem coming out of the festival that I saw over and over and over through the weekend. And the thing that it's one thing that you shut down one of the entrances. The thing that gets me is you did it the day that you showed up. You know, they basically told you with no warning, with no expectation. And people had bought tickets specifying which entrance they could walk into. That part is baffling to me, and how badly
very,
they messed
very much
that
so.
Up.
And that was a selling point. If you were in group or if you were bought one of those darkroom tents, that was part of the reason you did that, was you would have extra closer access to that entrance. And then they closed it last
minute. And then when you see it absolutely not working on the fly, doing something about it. I know there's nothing you can do about it once you make a decision like that, but how did you not see this coming?
There were...
Shocking to me.
I've been trying to think how to say this. A lot of the issues that I ran into from my own personal and then like this seem to be a C3 thing, if I'm honest. The folks that have been there for all this time know what they're doing and they know the vibe, and I had no issue. Those guys were great. They were great, great, great. The C3 stuff, I'm not saying they were wrong. It's just different. It's just they do things differently. And some of that's inside baseball stuff, you know, that affected me personally. But things like that, what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I think that the reason why I'm so surprised is because the thing that we have championed the most about this festival is the user experience and how easily, you know, digestible this product is for us. You know, it's the lack of advertising. It's the lack of, you know, feeling like there's corporate greed surrounding it, the lack of what feels like an industrial complex that's just, you know, I'm just part of this machine. It always felt organic and thoughtful and unique. And it sounds, the way that I've taken it is that a lot of that was maybe a bit whitewashed this year.
There was some of that, and some of that played out into the other thing like we're talking about with the access. I mean, there was no consistent, which worked out fine for the most part in our favor, right, Taco? I mean, the gate situation, you could...
I was never told no to any
never
question.
Never told no, that's right.
I was
right.
never told no. It was just move me on, just...
Yeah,
maybe this random. Is the next T-shirt. Never not great turns into never told no.
Never told no, but
I don't know if I want to wear that on a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to bring it up too much, because I don't want it to get fixed. But there was randomly, you know, you see a shift change. That's what we noticed. You know, the shift change. The new person was gung ho for about an hour, and then they were sitting in 105 degree heat too, and they mm-hmm. just didn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. There were some things, and I don't know if you noticed this, Taco, but like that gate going from media into was so small. There was just the one, you know, Brad, you know, where we normally go in, out of media and all that. And there was just the one lane in and out. And I can't imagine how bottleneck that would have been with 80,000.
So that's to the left as you're coming behind the witch stage. It's to the left of the witch stage. There was only one way in and one way out.
Yeah.
One
metal detector. That's right. And they were checking bags and stuff like that.
They kind of were.
That's what I mean. Sometimes.
There was another one on the other side of the witch stage.
The old one was open, but no one was using it because there was no one in platinum. There was no one in the woods. So nobody was using it.
Could you not access that side anymore?
Yes, we could.
Okay.
We could.
Yeah, I did several times, but our main entrance was pretty small. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was, things like that. So there were, you know.
Well, backstage tip, it's always better to use that entrance than the witch state entrance. Just letting you know. Small tip, the extra walk that you have to make through the compound, it's always worth it, I promise you.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll just leave it at that.
It's a lot of things like that. So what were the other points that I really wanted to make? The media tent was much improved. It was like
media tent was great.
It was great. It was not just a tent.
Surprising, because everything that we were told, they were pretty much eliminating most of the media stuff.
No, it was terrific.
How about that?
Air conditioned, lots of chairs, tables, things like that. Access, help from our usual guys, our friends at Big Hassle. I mean, you know, they were all great. It just
I ran into Ken several times.
Yeah. They were great as always. The difference is for the bigger questions, they had to go through corporate and follow chain of command. And again, that's inside baseball stuff.
Hey, Taco.
It sure slowed me down.
Did he enjoy the sweater that you knitted him?
Yes,
he did. It was a very special sweater.
That's good.
And
it fit.
He was very
right.
appreciative.
It fit just right. I bet he's still wearing it to this day.
I bet he is. Yeah, I hope so.
Loved it.
Great news. That's great.
Gifts were exchanged.
Good.
What were the other things, Russ, that I wanted to make sure? I'm going to guess next year, not guess, but I don't know what next year looks like.
Yeah.
I really don't. 2 years of not having it, 2.5 years, really, if you want to count September. 40,000 tickets, increase in costs. I can only guess they didn't make a lot of money, if they made any money. My guess is we'll probably see higher ticket prices next year.
No doubt.
I don't know what they do. I really probably shouldn't even try to speculate, but I do know.
Well, not only is there a lack of, available funds for something like this, even though Live Nation's got all the money in the world, they still have to turn profits in these areas. They can't just, rob Peter to pay Paul so they can keep, a festival up on its feet. But I think that there's a real worry and fear, and it's justified about where this festival goes because of not just the lack of, attendance or increasing prices, but they've got a major problem with the city on their hands.
That's right. City, county, and state to some degree, and some of the merchants around there. They've got some issues that have to be worked out.
If you were to put a percentage on it right now, what is the percentage that Bonnaroo lives on that farm next year?
And this is just me. I have some inside, but this is just me. I would say 80% it happens.
I mean, that's incredible if there's even a 20% chance that it doesn't, frankly.
Yeah. And it's fluid. I could, you know, that's plus or minus, pick a number.
Yeah.
It's not 100. I firmly believe the real power brokers want it to happen. There's too much invested in it. And I think there's probably going to be a lot of, what do they call it, saber waving, sword, you know, rattling, saber rattling.
Saber rattling.
You know, there's going to be a lot of that, but I think at the end of the day, it's too big. It's too big to not happen. And it's too big in a place that doesn't have a whole lot of other options. You know what I mean? It's not like there's four other festivals lined up ready to take its place. You know, it's not like a Nashville or an LA or New York or.
I think it's one of these things where if you look from the outside and you may think about it differently if you're, you know, part of Manchester or part of Bonnaroo or C3 or Live Nation. But if you look from the outside, it feels as though the city of Manchester, which is starting to make a little bit of a ruckus here about, you know, things that they feel as though they are owed, money, some expense sharing. It feels as though they think they have more leverage than they really do.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's city or county, but it may be more the county, which lost it basically because the city annexed. But yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think some folks think they have more leverage than they probably actually do. That's what I mean. It's not Los Angeles and Chicago or New York where there are other festivals, you know, ready mm-hmm. to step in. There just aren't.
Not even festivals, but you know, you ain't calling IKEA to build on that farm. You know,
right.
I just what are the other options for that city? It's the city. I mean, I hate to like dog on Manchester, but it's not like they have a thriving economy and, you know, a place where most of their they don't have an Amazon factory. You know, it's not like they have a giant swell of available, you know, capital that they can pull from. Bonnaroo is the biggest thing that happens in that city. And to try and milk it for just a few more dollars seems like a really risky proposition when, by the way, you're not dealing with a small company anymore. You're dealing with Live Nation, who, if they feel as though this is going to cause them any more headaches, they'll say, screw it.
Yeah, yeah.
Screw it. What do they need it for?
They are the gorilla. And my fear, I go back to what I said earlier, is I fear we as fans may feel it, you know, in our pocketbooks too. And not just this festival. I think we're going to feel it in a lot of festivals. The costs are going to go up just because they have gasoline economy, you know, bands costs, all of that stuff. So we'll see. You know, everybody keeps asking, why do you think the number was 40,000? And I didn't hear anything different. Taco, maybe you heard something different, but I didn't hear anything to say it wasn't exactly what we thought. It was just a confluence of a lot of things. You know, economy, 2.5 years of not having it, lengthy camping, lots of other festivals with good lineups, you know, not the strongest of lineups.
Can't point to one thing. It was just all these factors, you know, separate, but they all influence the numbers.
But to that point, and I think we predicted this going in, everybody that was there wanted to be there and had a pretty good time. I mean, when it's all said and done, I really didn't hear any. I mean, even Stone, you know, Mr. Negative. Yeah. Mr. Everything is Awful was like 3.5 days ago. I was ready to write this off and never come back. And now it's one of the best weekends I've had. So, you know.
Well, I mean, that's a really low bar.
It's a typical Brian. Yeah, that just means some girl smiled at him. Some girl smiled. Somebody told him hello and liked his socks. So he had a great weekend. It's the truth. And I get it.
Yeah.
I'm the same. Thursday, I was miserable. Friday afternoon was, why am I here? This is awful. And then, it was great.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this has been a lot about the organization. Let's actually talk about the thing that you were there for, the actual shows. Let's go through it. Best show.
Oh, Tool for me, for sure.
Yeah?
Really?
Tool and Pussifer, yeah. Okay. Loved them both.
I thought Tool was a little dull. Chicks were good. Backseat Lovers were good. I didn't see a whole lot, so I'm not the guy. What was it? War on Drugs was really mm-hmm. good.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the Isaiah Rashad, and I didn't think that I would. I my thing on the lyrics. I'm not a big fan of the B word and the N word, and there was a lot of that. But I thought his show was great.
Barry,
and
you talking about the saying the word Barry?
Yeah,
the word Barry.
Don't say
yeah.
it. Don't use don't it. Say ever it in public. Yeah. And him getting the key to the city from our mayor, I know the mayor's getting a lot of grief for it being a political move and a ploy. Of course it was.
What do you mean? What do you mean he's getting a lot of grief from who?
Oh, just from people here in Chattanooga, especially.
Oh, that's just people who don't like Tim Kelly. Give me a goddamn break. Are you out of your mind?
Right.
Politicians get on stage to get in front of people and do things like this.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought it was great. And Isaiah was,
I'm actually flabbergasted.
His mom and dad were there. They were crying.
I'm sorry. I'm flabbergasted by this.
Why?
There are actual people that are upset that a politician got on stage and gave somebody a key to the city. I don't understand. What are they mad about?
Because it was a black man who's a rapper and someone was shot later that night. It was clearly after the BLM crowd. I mean, that's what they were saying.
Oh,
as a rapper, you can't, I mean, what are you going to do? If you didn't see that coming, raise your hand. I thought it was cool.
Hey, you know what? Donald Trump stands on stage and gives people keys to the city, too.
Yeah.
That's just, come on. That enrages me. I cannot believe there are actual people who use that as something to argue about.
Well, let me say this, too, about that, because it goes back to what I was saying earlier about how this worked. Right. So in a lot of cases, things we were used to, avenues, doors, whatever, that were easily open, sometimes weren't. Again, inside baseball for me. The reality is I get a text from somebody at AC Entertainment saying, hey, are you going to be in the crowd for the Isaiah Rashad getting the key to the city? And this is at what, 5 o'clock? I think it was about 6:30, right, Russ,
mm-hmm.
when they actually, yeah. So 5 o'clock, 5:15, I'm like, what city, what mayor, why is Manchester, and he said, no, your mayor, Chattanooga, Tim Kelly. So we all gathered, rally, I send a text to our photographer from the Times Free Press, who was also there, said, hey, we need this picture, we got to have this. And so met with her, and we're waiting, we see Mayor Kelly. We say hello and all that, and then find out it's 30 minutes later, so we didn't need to be hurrying. Anyway, so I sit down with our photographer and our friend Nate Gale, who is there working for one of the local TV stations, is standing there too, and he said, man, we were like, it'd be great if we could get this picture, but they only get the first three songs in the pit, and then they have to leave. So our friend Ken Weinstein with Big Hassle walks up. Nate goes over and says, can any chance that us from Chattanooga, we'd really like to get this picture. This is a big deal. Long story short, quick conversation. Ken says, sure. And he reaches to his colleague, and his colleague said, absolutely. So those two were able to take the first three picture songs and then hang out. And then when the mayor came out, they escorted him back into the pit so that we could get that really great shot.
So they did the key to the city during the show?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be at the end. I think he did a couple of more songs after, which I didn't see. But anyway, my point is, you know, on the fly like that, that's the kind of thing that roller coaster where we were able to get to us from being from Chattanooga was a really important moment. Mm-hmm. And they made it happen without any, I mean, you know, no fuss. Sure. They were really cool about that. That's that kind of thing that, you know, is inside baseball to me means a lot. But it was very important. Okay. Very, very important.
All right. Worst show. Got your best show. What's your worst show?
I thought Tool was just about boring. I mean, it was huge and big, but the music was just—it was just one 90-minute same song over.
I mean, I think Tool has a reaction that's either going to be really positive or really negative most of the time. And I don't know if I might be wrong, but I don't know many people that leave a Tool show going, "Yeah, it's fine."
Well, that's kind of what I got from people.
Brian Stone.
Brian Stone came by and was like, "Eh." You know,
yeah,
they didn't like it.
I thought the and I'm interrupting you, Taco, but I thought the late night stuff that lasted till about 6 a.m, which we all get to hear because it, you know,
we're right behind the stage. Yeah,
we're right behind the stage. Just was, I mean, it wasn't offensive. It wasn't like, you know, Bass Nectar Loud or any of those. It was just
what was running till 6 a.m.
Every night.
The other
every night.
They had the shows on the other until 6 a.m.
Yeah. Well, you're nowhere near the other.
Yeah. We still heard it. Yeah.
we were close enough. And it wasn't, you know, again, I don't mean to be you kids get off my yard. I mean, I like it was just bleh. It just dull. I didn't hear much, but of course I wasn't there with the flashing lights and doing whatever enhancements that some of the other people might have been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think I saw a bad show there, but there were quite a few shows that were delayed. They started late, and it was mostly on this tent. I don't know if there was just something technical with that stage, but like the Super Jam was delayed.
The stage that can never keep time is this tent. It is perennially late every year. There's always something that goes on in that tent, and I don't know what it is.
There were so many shows that were delayed. And I think I even missed... Lovers. Yeah, Backseat Lovers was one. I think I even missed a lot of the Super Jam because I just got tired of sitting around waiting and I went and did something else.
Man, I hear the Super Jam was great.
It was.
What about... did you guys do anything with Jap Breakfast? Japanese Breakfast? JB? J Brecky? Oh, that's too bad.
Well, everything I told you I was going to see, I didn't.
Yeah.
Of course you didn't. I know. I mean, the one thing that you missed that is the thing that stuns me the most, but I understand why, is Herbie Hancock. I can't believe.
Oh, I saw Herbie Hancock.
I'm proud of you.
You know, he's 82 years old.
I think Barry, Russ saw Herbie Hancock's bus being loaded out. So, I mean, he saw everything.
Yeah. Barry, how many shows did you actually see? What were you doing most of the time?
Well, again, inside for 2 days, I was waiting on quotes that I needed for my stories to get back from C3, which never came. Uh-huh. Lesson learned. Now, next time, I won't wait on them for anything. Uh-huh. But I couldn't. I needed it for my stories, so I missed a full 2 days.
Okay.
And then Saturday, thankfully, we had all those interviews. And you know how it is when you got an interview set up, it's always opposite the shows that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you run back and forth, which we did. So, I mean, it's wah. I know it's complaining, but
So Tool and no show was bad. How about biggest surprise? Who did you leave the festival as a big fan of that you weren't before?
For me, that was Nathaniel Rateliff. That show was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I love Nate. I love Nate so much.
Yeah. I really like the Chicks, Backseat. I mean, those guys, I respected. They were a half hour almost, 20 minutes late because of sound check. Something was wrong with one of the amps. But when they came out, man, they came out on fire. That was
they killed it. Yeah,
I'm glad two Brad suggestions got put in the
yeah, for sure.
Biggest surprise. Biggest letdown. Yeah, something you had a big high hopes for that let you down that wasn't nearly as good as you thought it would be.
I don't think Barry's I was really let down.
Yeah, Barry's gonna say no, because I had no expectation. I didn't know what to expect.
I mean, my biggest letdown for Taco is the beer exchange. The fact that not one person handed him a PBR is criminal.
Yeah, well, we just, you know, we were in and out. We didn't get to stay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The bat signal was put up. The taco was put into the sky. They knew you were coming, and nobody was waiting there with a PBR about that to was, hand you as soon as you
I have my
out.
Own.
That's
yeah.
unbelievable.
That was disappointing that we didn't get to spend more time because they were killing it. I mean, mm-hmm. kudos to Daniel and Charla and Kevin and all Mitchell, all of those guys. I mean, mm-hmm. They really
it was
had
packed.
It, set up.
It was packed. Yeah. There were so many people there.
It was By cool. the way, how is everyone? How's the team?
Those guys?
Yeah, how's everybody?
Yeah, they're doing great.
Wonderful. And, you know, for the first time in, 2 years, I actually met the Ruham guys in person and
oh
had hams
God.
With them. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, clarify, ham two, you know, they're like thing two, thing when they have ham and two. Ham two, baby or not a baby?
Not a baby.
Wow. Man, you could have fooled me.
No, he grew that mustache, man.
Well, I've seen babies with mustaches.
That was, again, it goes back to what I was saying is everyone seemed to have a different experience. There were, you know, David Bruce, our friend, I Am Bonnaroo, was there with, two kids? See, there were two sons?
Two sons and a daughter.
Okay, so he was there with family for, I think,
he was there
the
with
this
whole,
time.
Yeah, first yeah, time.
He was having a very, very special time, you know. Daniel, I think when I saw him on Saturday, first thing he said was, you know, you've been sort of worrying that I might hit a wall at some point. I think I did about 20 minutes ago because they had so much going on. They had so many bands and
they had shows, they had weddings, yeah. Events. Awesome. They were trying to just coordinate everything.
You're not signing me up for that. 0% chance I am going to be coordinating all of that. I barely want to set up camp.
Yeah.
But when I'm there, I want no responsibilities whatsoever.
But kudos to them for that. And
they did
a
great
job.
Everyone
was so nice and people coming up and saying hello. And I didn't get to meet Pondo, but I met some of the people that were there with him. And
I did meet Pondo.
Yep. I'm telling you, Brad, Russ was, I mean, the big neon sign was working for him. He was, we gave out koozies and stickers and,
Oh, yeah. I ran out of stickers several times because I was
you
just
know
handing them out.
You got plenty of stickers left, Brian Stone, because nobody's looking for a Brian Stone sticker.
Nobody's looking for a Brian Stone sticker.
And my final question is, every year we have one of these moments that is the one that carries us through the rest of the year, the story that you'll tell all year until next Bonnaroo. What is that moment for you guys?
I think for me, and again, it's a work thing, but when we rolled in to interview churches, we had and we left Backseat Lovers. We had Nate Gale there as a photographer. We had David Bruce, I Am Bonnaroo, there as a photographer. Kai Veland was our intern because she wanted to be there. Brian Stone was running sound, and then Russ and I. We looked like we knew what we were doing. It was pretty special.
Well, at least you looked like it.
And they were so great, all of them.
We sure fooled them.
Yeah,
got him again, guys.
Got him.
But you know, I think I told you last week, I knew this was going to be a work festival for me because I just knew how things were lining up. And so it was a lot of work. It was a good work. As far as that special moment, you know, standing in the middle of the field, music, I don't think I had that other than maybe Isaiah Rashad and the, you know, the city thing.
I mean the moment, meaning that it could be music, it could be camp. You know, 2-3 years ago, the moment that I'll never forget, I don't remember a single band that I saw, but I remember the storm that came through and the head that popped out of the tent as the lightning strike hit. Yeah. When poor Kelly, you know, pops his head out looking like he's Ace Ventura in Ace Ventura 2 coming out of the rhinoceros.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. That guy came out of that tent expecting to see angels.
Yeah, he thought he was in the dead. He thought he was in the upside down. He literally came. No, I think he was in.
Yeah. Did we have those moments at camp? Yeah, maybe. I mean,
I think just the lack of everybody being there was kind of a highlight. I mean, it really just made us. I mean, we missed Brad. We missed Denson. We missed so many people from camp. It just didn't feel like, you know, a traditional Bonnaroo. And, you know, hopefully we'll get back to it next year and everybody will be there.
But that was your highlight.
No.
Oh, okay. Because I thought I heard you say the highlight was Brad not being there.
That's what I heard. Everybody not being there. Right? Wow. Okay. Sorry I harshed your mellow there. Right?
Yeah.
Well, in the upcoming episodes that you will see in the coming hours and days, maybe they're already up, but we have interviews. We don't. You guys did interviews with who? Who do you have coming up?
Briston Maroney, Churches.
Great. What a nice
kid. Yeah, I love that kid.
Churches, and then Backseat Lovers.
Love it.
That Briston Maroney interview was, we did it twice, and I don't think we got it right either time.
What do you mean you did it twice?
We did it twice because the first time, Barry forgot to hit record.
Oh, and again, then, how about that? Looky. It strikes again.
Yeah,
that was the audio.
It always happens once a year.
And then I'm pretty sure I hit record, but I think it stopped recording for some reason, so we didn't get video on the second one. Uh-huh. Got video on the first one, but not the second one.
And at least we looked like we knew what we were doing.
We walked in great, man. We loaded in like pros. Uh-huh.
And, you know, to Briston's credit, yeah, Briston, he didn't miss a beat. He said, we said, well, can we do it again? He said, yeah, let's do it again. So
yeah, he was so sweet. And I'm really proud of that one because it was Father's Day, and he said some really amazing things about his dad, which were pretty special. So even the second time. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really cool to get to do that.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about the two things to wrap the show up today. First, three things, I guess. So first, go check out the interviews. Churches, Briston Maroney, Backseat Lovers. It's happening here. Should be posted now. But the other thing, we were supposed to have a guest today who called me, bitched, yelled, screamed, broke glass. This guy is literally a bull in a china shop about anything that he doesn't get in his life. If he feels so owed, everything in this world should be his. And the fact that it's not, he's going to pitch the biggest fit of the world about it. And he complained and complained and complained about not being invited on this show. So what did we do today? We invited him on. He was supposed to be here exactly an hour and 1 minute ago. And where is he? Nowhere to be found. That would be Sean Stewart from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Sean, part of Camp Nut Butter. Nowhere to be found, making that part of the official record. Finally, the other thing that happened during the show that I think is very exciting is if you were watching on the video moving picture box, you got to see not just one, but two wives today. Two wives. You got Barry's wife doing laundry and my wife going to a pride parade.
Apparently she's over it because I told her not to start laundry. Now you can probably hear it back there.
I can't. So. I know.
I thought that was a train. That's the washing machine?
That's the washing machine.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Can't wait to have that conversation here in a second.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? I really do want to have Sean back on because Sean, you know, we've always talked about our friends Denson and Mike Dewar being, you know, Jedi Knights and ninjas. Sean has a pretty amazing tale about his weekend with his general admission wristband and where all he got to go. So I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Hang on a second. First off, we've had Sean on before. It was really early. But secondly, I wouldn't put the words Jedi mind tricks in the same sentence as Sean Stewart.
You didn't see him get around. I know.
I don't find what he does to be mind tricks. I think that he just feels as though he's owed this, so he just takes it.
Well, he didn't sneak up on anybody. If that's it, wasn't exactly ninja-like.
No.
He didn't tiptoe around the farm. Let's be clear. But he got in some amazing places.
Nobody's ever seen Sean said, "Where'd you come from?"
Yeah, stealth. Stealth is not.
That's what he does well.
But it was funny. Every time we'd turn around, he'd be like, right there with us. Didn't matter where we were. Great. Yeah.
Well, that's the old Joey Dubs thing. Joe Inland always seemed to find himself in every possible situation with, you know, just a smile on his face and, you know. Yeah. GA wristband around his wrist.
How you doing?
All right. Anything else, guys? Anything else you want to get to? I'm sure there's gonna be more reflection in the coming weeks, but you know, after these, I anticipate us taking a few weeks off, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
three or four more shows. But
yeah. All right. Well, love you guys. I'm glad you had a great time, and I can't wait to see you at least next year. I'm sorry I missed. Sorry you missed it. I really am. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I didn't even bring up the live stream. The live stream, and we'll talk about this in another episode, I guess, because we're running out of time, but the Hulu live stream, man, it was world class. It was absolutely fantastic. I thought it was such a wonderful experience. Yeah, they got all the times wrong, but, I mean, I was already locked in. I turned it on, and I just liked watching whoever I was on the screen. I really didn't care.
I did catch a little bit of that. Yeah, it was great. Back in media, they had a little Hulu viewing area with like a big TV, and you could just sit down and watch it. So I'm trying to remember who I watched. I don't know. But it was good.
Oh, my God. Next time we talk about the Hulu thing, next episode sometime, please let's tell the story of Brian Stone singing along with Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, my God.
Please tell that story. Have I ever told you that, Taco?
I don't think so.
It's really one of our favorite camp moments of all time. All right, we'll leave you with that. Other than that, enjoy the interviews with Briston Maroney, Churches, Backseat Lovers, rate, review, do all those things if you can. And we'll see you next time.
Leave a like. Leave a like, please.
Ooh, yeah.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey,
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.